nothing to prepare, not made with hands, and 'twill be decked with jewels rare, not made with hands. I know,
I know,
I know,
I know
I have another building. I know,
I know,
I know,
I know
it's not made with hands. Put on the armor of our God, not made with hands, and take the path our captains trod, not made with hands. I know,
I know,
I know. Children, get your crown, not made with hands. When you have laid your armor down, not made with hands. I know,
I know,
I know,
I know
I have another building. I know,
I know,
I know,
I know
it's not made with hands. I know.
Dear Heavenly Father, I pray now that you would guide me as I teach on the biblical principles of the church, that building not made with hands. Lord, help us to understand that your church is a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, built to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Help us to understand that the chief cornerstone of that spiritual building is our Lord Jesus Christ. May these teachings glorify you. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Dear friends, in this segment, I will begin the study of the biblical principles concerning the church. If you want to see how these studies all fit together, go to the blog page of churchandstatelaw.com. Churchandstatelaw.com, spelled just like it sounds. Spell out and, don't use the symbol for and. Let's get into our study of the church. As foretold by Isaiah, as recorded in Isaiah 43, John the Baptist announced, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight." Matthew 3:2-3. The phrase kingdom of heaven is peculiar to Matthew and signifies the messianic earth rule of Jesus Christ, the son of David. It is called the kingdom of the heavens because it is the rule of the heavens over the earth. Matthew 6:10. The phrase is derived from Daniel, where it is defined. Daniel 2:34-36 and also verse 44. Daniel 7:23-27. There it is defined as the kingdom which the God of heaven will set up after the destruction by the stone cut without hands of the Gentile world system. It is the kingdom covenanted to David's seed, described in the prophets, and confirmed to be Jesus the Christ, the son of Mary, through the angel Gabriel. Luke 1 verses 32 and 33. For serious students, remember you can order the book God Betrayed by going to the books page of churchandstatelaw.com. I give all my citations there so you'll know exactly where to go to see if I'm not telling you the truth. I do give some references on this broadcast. After Israel morally rejected the kingdom of heaven, Jesus predicted judgment on the places chosen for the testing of the nation, Chorazin, Bethsaida, and Capernaum, wherein most of his mighty works were done because they repented not. Matthew 11:20-24. Jesus at that point turned from the rejecting nation, offered rest and service to individuals in the nation, and returned to the Gentiles. Matthew 11:28-30, Matthew 12:18. In fulfillment, this awaited the official rejection, crucifixion, and resurrection of Christ, and the final rejection of the risen Christ. Luke 24, verses 46 and 47, Acts 9:15, Acts 13:46, Acts 28, verses 25 through 28, Romans 11:11. Just as God ordained civil government, He also ordained the church after the nation Israel rejected Him and the kingdom of heaven. The power given by God to the church was to secure a spiritual good for its members. When Christ asked His disciples whom they thought Him to be, as recorded in Matthew 16:15, Mark 8:29, and Luke 9:20, Peter answered, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Matthew 16:16, and also Mark 8:29 and Luke 9:20. At that point, our Lord announced the outcalling of the church when He said, as recorded in Matthew 16, verses 18 and 19, "And I say also unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." The building of the church is on the rock of Peter's confession, the Christ he confessed. Peter makes clear that the rock upon which the Lord will build His church, which is a spiritual house made up of spiritual beings offering up spiritual sacrifices, and not a physical house made by man, is Christ Himself. 1 Peter 2, 4 through 9 says, "To whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, Behold, I lay in Sion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on Him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, He is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed." In Acts 4:11, we read part of Peter's address to the Sanhedrin. "This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner." From the context, it is obvious that Peter is speaking of the Lord as being the chief cornerstone. Nowhere in the Bible is there any indication that Peter was the cornerstone of the church. The words used also make clear that Christ was referring to Himself as the rock on which the church would be built. There is in the Greek, in Matthew 16:18, a play upon the words, "Thou art Peter," Petros, literally a little rock, "and upon this rock, Petra, I will build my church." He does not promise to build His church upon Peter, but upon Himself, as Peter himself is careful to tell us in 1 Peter 2, 4 through 9. Jesus Christ, the head of the church, loved the church and gave Himself for it, Ephesians 5, 25. Jesus did not give Peter the keys, a key being a badge of power and authority. See, for example, Isaiah 22, 22 and Revelation 3, 7. He did not give Peter the keys to the church, but to the kingdom of heaven, the keys in the sense of Matthew 13, that is, of the sphere of Christian profession. Peter assumed no other authority. In the council at Jerusalem, as recorded in Acts 15, James seems to have presided. Peter claimed nothing more than to be an apostle by gift and an elder by office. 1 Peter 1:1, 1 Peter 5:1. The power of binding and loosing was shared by the other apostles. See Matthew 18:18 and John 20:23. Since only Christ held the keys of death and the place of the departed spirits, this did not involve the determination of the eternal destiny of souls. Revelation 1:18 says this, "I, speaking of Jesus Christ, am He that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death." Isaac Backus, the great Baptist leader in New England, elaborated upon the faith confessed by Peter. Quote, "This faith is the foundation of the church, Against this faith the gates of hell shall not prevail. This faith has the keys of the kingdom of heaven. What this faith shall loose or bind on earth is bound and loosed in heaven. Now it followeth that whatsoever person hath received the same precious faith with Peter as all the faithful have, 2 Peter 1:1, that person hath a part in this gift of Christ. Whosoever doth confess, publish, manifest, or make known Jesus to be the Christ, the Son of the living God, and Savior of the world, that person opens heaven's gates, looseth sin, and partakes with Peter in the use of the keys. And hereupon it followeth necessarily that one faithful man, yea, or woman either, may loose and bind, both in heaven and earth, as all the ministers in the world. Close quotes. Paul's epistles developed the doctrine of the church. The Lord did not explain how, when, or of what materials this church should be built, or of what should be its position, relationship, privilege, or duties. God revealed to Paul the mystery of the church. The church was to be made up of both Jewish and Gentile believers. Jesus Christ, through the Apostle Paul, explained the purpose, membership, makeup, and operation of the church and the relationship of his church to himself. Through Paul alone, we know that the church is not an organization, but an organism, the body of Christ. God's word describes the church as being the bride of Christ and the wife of Christ. Those designations carry connotations about how he feels about his relationship with his church, and the word of God gives ample instruction to alert the church member as to what this relationship entails. Although the Lord made clear that he wants every church to be under him in all things, God allows men in a church free will to decide whether to do things his way. Our Lord warned against false teachers to come, and some writers of the New Testament warned of already existing apostasy in the church and revealed that before the return of Christ, true believers would all be raptured, and those left behind in the visible church would go into total apostasy, be called a whore and not a church, and be destroyed by the nations. Religious apostasy of some churches in America began with the importation from Europe of modernism and has recently accelerated as seen in the recent church growth movement. And after that, the emerging church movement. Because of the signs of the times as related to biblical prophecy, true believers should be vigilant in seeking the salvation of the lost, since it appears that the Lord will return soon. Only true believers have the ultimate hope. The true church will reign with the Lord. The Holy Spirit is now calling out not the subjects, but the co-heirs and co-rulers of the kingdom. Since the Lord told believers to love others, they should have a great burden for the salvation of the lost. Heresies concerning the end times are being spread by false teachers like wildfire amongst God's people who have not studied God's word and who are easy prey. These false teachers are teaching that the church will bring peace and unity to the earth prior to the return of Christ. That's a lie, my friends. If you'll continue with me, I believe you'll begin to understand that. Even many seminaries and Bible colleges are teaching that the rapture is a false doctrine. I don't have time to go into the doctrine of the rapture right now. I do have an excellent sermon on my separation of church and state law website. You can go to geraldfinney.wordpress.com to hear it. Just click the Sermons tab and scroll down to the sermon, The Rapture Question. That website is jeraldfinney.wordpress.com. To get there, you can also go to the blog page of churchandstatelaw.com. Click any article on that page. When you get to separation of church and state law, notice the tabs at the top. One of those tabs is a sermons tab. Click that tab and scroll down and find the sermon. In this segment, I have finished the introduction to the biblical principles of the church. In the next 15-minute segment after the break, I will get into the biblical principles regarding the definition, organization, and purposes of a church. Join me after the break when I will continue these informative and exciting studies.